Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
The happy hour. That was organic. That just kind of happened. We started calling it the happy hour, then it got happy. Or maybe it was happy, and then we went, that hour is fun. Well, if you lost luggage, so far on today's show, we've told you where you might find your things. We've also talked about annoying habits. We talked to Dick Girardi, Philadelphia guy on horse racing. Anytime you get a Philly guy talking about cheesesteaks or horse racing, that's a good thing. Daniel Popper, who might have the best name in the press box for the Los Angeles Chargers season. He joined us to talk about the Chargers season, HBO Hard Knocks. Still ahead this hour, the Culligan Water Cooler Report, the 2 at 2, a visit from my wife, maybe some of your phone calls as well. We've got a lot still ahead on the show. And by the way, I think HBO Hard Knocks did the right thing by picking the Chargers and the Rams. Anytime you can get Los Angeles, Southern California, a couple things going on there. First of all, you got Justin Herbert, who's got hair made for Hollywood. You got the Chargers and Rams, who both are interesting stories. But I think from a production standpoint, if you're going to have an NFL team, you're in Los Angeles. It kind of made sense for the NFL teams to be the focus there. It's a natural fit. All right, our 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things going on in sports. We do it every day.
The 2 at 2.
Couple few things going on today. Couple few things. Major League Baseball's Players Association is pumping the brakes. They're saying, hold up. We don't have a deal yet. The players want 70 games in their season. The owners have proposed a 60-game season. Me, I just want the games to stop. This feels like it's just two sides that are trying to win a negotiation, not trying to get on the same page. The NBA got on the same page pretty quickly. NFL got there. College sports is getting there. In your household, you've made adjustments, haven't you? In the last 3 months, you homeschooled kids. That's harder than coming to an agreement on, should it be 60 games? Should it be 70 games? At this point, it just feels like baseball should just wave a white flag and say, okay, we give in. And the ultimate irony will be if the coronavirus causes the cancellation of Major League Baseball season, because the narrative for every other sports league is going to be, hey, we tried, but we just couldn't get it done. This damn pandemic wouldn't let it happen. But for Major League Baseball, all anyone's going to remember is that the owners and the players hate each other. That's my first thing in my 2 at 2. My second thing, Dr. Anthony Fauci making rounds again. He was asked if sports leagues have a problem in restarting. He was very clear on the Dan Patrick Show today about that.
The trouble is in the sport, if you do that, you're going to quickly fall apart once a couple of people get, because you get half the team is going to. So you got to figure out a way how you can keep the game going without sacrificing or risking the health of the players. Would that mean following them carefully and testing them every day when a person becomes positive, pull them out? You know, I don't know quite yet how that's going to work out. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy.
Fauci was also asked if sports leagues are being naive. I mean, I get why sports leagues are planning to come back. I don't blame them for that. But are they being a little Pollyanna in not respecting that ultimately, it's the virus that determines what happens?
You know, I don't want to call them naive because I think they're working hard on trying to get something to work. I know that they're trying their best to be cautiously optimistic. Again, you have to weigh what you're talking about. Are you talking about getting a sport going that can be observed even in a situation where a lot of parts of the country are being restricted in their physical contact? Namely, you're not going to have people sitting in the stands close to each other, sneezing and coughing on each other. That's going to be a problem. If you can get away with either televised completely or a very serious social distancing, where you limit severely the number of people that come into a stadium or an arena or a basketball arena.
Bubbles can be created, and I think ultimately we're going to look back at what the UFC tried to do and going to an island as, hey, that wasn't such a bad idea, was it? Dr. Fauci has to be conservative, though, doesn't he? I mean, all medical professionals and scientists generally wired that way, generally worst-case scenario type individuals. It really swims against the current in sports. And I think that's evident on a day like today, as I'm pumping the brakes a little bit while still trying to maintain my sunny disposition. I'm going, look, could we have college football? Could we have the NFL? And would it work in empty stadiums? I think it would. But I think it's going to be a separation of haves and have-nots, because ultimately, it takes money to test. Portland State, for example, telling me this morning, it will test their student athletes one time at the beginning on the insurance policy of the player. Then it will only test moving forward if the player is symptomatic. I think it's a recipe in a lot of have-not athletic departments for there to be giant outbreaks. Hey, 13 players are testing positive. We can't play this week. But I think the haves of college football that can spend $600,000 to test multiple times and really focus on getting their players in a bubble, and the NFL can do that, I think they can have a season. And that's my two at two. Two biggest things going on in the world of sports. My wife has popped into studio. All right, you were at the dentist yesterday.
Yes.
They talked, they said, one of the first questions the dentist has is what?
It was the hygienist, actually. Hey, does John think there's going to be college football? Because I don't know what I'm going to do without my college football in the season. She's kind of my litmus test for what people care about in the community. She always has something like that.
All right, so I'm wrestling with this. The world needs this show. Needs the show like it needs vitamin D.
Okay.
Okay, we have to be sunshine. We need to be an escape. We need to be an aversion. And what is the last 3 months been? It's been chaos. It's been pain. It's been death.
Yeah.
It's been pandemic.
Yeah.
It's
economic fallout. People laid off from their jobs. It's the whole gamut, isn't it?
But I think there's a, I don't think it's accidental that the ratings of this show have exponentially increased. I think people are turning here because A, they want answers. Also, they're captive. Also, they go, hey, I need a break from this other stuff. Let's go to the BFT and see Anna's there in the 2 o'clock hour. She'll rescue us. Like, I think they're looking for a diversion.
Well, also, I think it's, you know, I think it's a sane place to have a forum for discussion. Like, that's what I enjoy about it, is hearing from people. And, you know, it's a platform where people can offer their opinions. We don't always have to agree, but we do have to agree to be civil as we talk about what we think. So I think I like that.
Well, we've got much more ahead, but I want to look back on the show. We were talking earlier in the show about pet peeves, sort of bad habits. I brought up people who run chronically late. I did find some research on people who chew their fingernails. Do you know that's bad for your fingers and your fingernails?
Well, I'm going to assume it's bad, yeah.
Do you know it's bad for your stomach? I found that out.
Well, I don't. Okay, that's gross. I don't want
to. It's bad for your stomach to eat your own fingernail.
Okay.
Don't, you got to stop doing that.
I don't chew. I only chew one fingernail. Okay. I've
scaled
back.
What does that matter? It's just you scaled back.
I only
smoke one cigarette a day.
Right. I'm on the path to quitting.
Do you need a patch? What do you need? What's the thing?
I need hypnosis. I need to go to hypnosis.
I saw a story where.
I saw a story
as I was doing my crack research in the last couple of days about a woman who was dating a guy.
Okay.
She wanted him to be addicted to her.
I'm bright red. I'm still getting over this. Okay, yeah.
So yes. She got the nicotine patch.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it on him when he stayed over. So he was getting, unbeknownst to himself, a dose of nicotine while he slept.
Okay.
Then, so when he didn't stay over with her, what is he getting? Gets withdrawals.
Oh, wow.
So he physically was addicted to being at her place.
Did it work?
I don't know. I just saw it, you know?
It's a novel concept. A little creepy.
Alabama Adriana? Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
That sounds psychotic. Like, that sounds like some you type stuff.
Why do I have this patch on me? You know, what is this thing? Oh, don't worry about that, honey.
Wait, so like he had to notice the patch at some point.
She might have ripped it off him. Maybe she put it on him while he's sleeping and pulled it off.
He must have been a heavy sleeper.
I don't know. But it was on. I found that online.
Maybe she like it like 4 or 5 in the morning before he'd wake. She'd like get out a steamer and steam it off of him, and so the adhesive wouldn't stick anymore.
But what if I wonder if there's more to that? Like, let's just say, let's say you're dating somebody who makes you coffee in the morning, and they make a strong cup of coffee, and you drink the coffee, and then over time you're like, in the morning, you're like, oh, I feel amazing. This is great. Like, I'm getting that reinforcement. But when you're at your place, you don't have the coffee maker, you know? Mm-hmm. What if you replace your significant other's, like, just if you're dating. You can't do this if you're married. But if you're dating, you go to their place and you replace their coffee with decaf. So. Yeah.
To make sure that it's the person that you're into and not the coffee they're making you. Cup of joe.
No, but they're not getting the caffeine at their own place. They're driven to be like, I need to spend time over there.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Let's just assume if you have to trick your partner into being obsessed with you, that there's probably some doomed relationship going on. Like, but let's just assume that's not healthy.
Have you ever had anyone obsessed with you? Alabama Adriana, go.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
I bet you have.
Well, I mean, I did have that one guy that I've talked about before that was like kind of stalking me, like had to get a restraining order through the school that I was at in Birmingham.
Ooh, freaky. What?
Like, how did that start? Let's unravel that one.
We dated for a couple of months and then I broke up with him. And apparently he didn't like it.
Why did you break up with him?
Because there were some red flags, obviously.
He ate one fingernail?
No.
Hey now.
No, the first thing, truly the first thing that I saw was that he was reading American Psycho. He had that on his coffee table.
Whoa.
And I was like, red flag number one.
Which in itself, in his defense, is, you know.
But if you're reading that, you don't put that on the coffee table for Alabama Adriana to see.
Maybe
I just thought it was a premonition and it ended up being that.
Okay.
Let's be real, though. Like you said, Adriana, you know, if you have to trick your partner into wanting to be around you, therein lies the problem. But if we're being real, when you're in the courting phase of a relationship.
I can't believe you said courting.
You do all kinds of things as a co-ed. I had to say co-ed because I said courting. No, but you do all kinds of things to, like, make yourself the most appealing and enticing possible to, you know, try and land the second, third, and fourth date. Like, might argue that putting on cologne or perfume.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Is the same.
No, I get that, but messing with somebody on a chemical level just seems a little bit like not okay.
Not okay.
The back to the stalker. So you broke up with him, and then how did you know you were being stalked?
Because we had a balcony and we could see him drive past the building.
Oh.
And he also set up, you know, those things called slack lines where you like mess with your balance and like, it's basically a tightrope, but people do it. He set up one of those with his friends right outside of my building when he knew that he wasn't supposed to be doing that.
Weirdo.
He could have done that anywhere.
It was
slacklining anywhere.
Yeah, maybe was a huge, like, green. We called it the green or the quad, whatever, but yeah.
But is it possible he was just trying to impress you, being like, hey, look at my balance?
No,
like,
because
hey,
at that point, I had already gotten the no contact order, and he knew that he had been informed that he was not supposed to be, like, anywhere near me.
Weirdo.
And
okay, so did it get violent? Not to make fun of like stalking, but
oh no.
Did you how and when he got like you got the order, did he get the picture at that point?
No, because after I got the order, he was still setting up right outside of my building. I feel like he was like taunting me. It's kind of creepy. And then, honestly, the point that it was, like, too big for just me to handle was when my roommate started to be afraid, too. Like, when it affects not only you, but the people in your life, like, that was, for me, the last straw.
Yeah. I'm sure he thought he was... Have you heard from him lately? Is he...
Oh, no.
Take a look
He's
outside.
Been blocked. This was, like, 6 years ago. This was a long time ago, so...
Wow. Judah!
Yeah, that's a negative from me. No stalkers or people infatuated, overly infatuated with me, that is. I gotta say, though, if we're saying no more nail biting, I'm not drinking milk because I thought calcium was good for you.
No, that's not calcium.
That's
your own body.
Nails are made of
cannibal.
Calcium. From when I was a kid, I heard that.
By the way, the word courting, I'm allergic to that word.
Why?
Come on.
I was in college, and I had a girl that was a classmate in one of my classes. She was nice, you know, and we went and got the equivalent of coffee one day. And the bottom line being, she came up to me when I was with my friends, like, weeks later. I was with my friends hanging out. She walked up to me. She may or may not have had a drink. And she said, if you're going to be courting me, you shouldn't be talking to other girls.
So that ruined the word for you?
Nothing had happened. Like, there was no romance or nothing. We'd had a cup of coffee. She said courting, and I literally did not want to, like, hurt her. But at the same time, internally, my different personalities internally, if this is, like, Inside Out, the movie, like, if I'm living it, one of them was going, what did she just say? Courting? What year is this? 1850? Like, I think ultimately it was, that's an old term.
Courting.
Why did you use that term, courting?
I don't know.
You're going to be courting somebody.
You call on someone as well?
Because it's that, I mean, how else do you describe that phase of before you're officially dating?
Let's go to the resident millennial there. Alabama Adriana. We used to say, like,
courting.
Going around or dating.
Going steady.
Alabama Adriana, what do you guys say today if you're in that initial kind of phase?
So the first few dates, like the first few months, is you're like talking to somebody. When you haven't talked about being exclusive, when you haven't put a label on it, you're talking.
So you would say, you know, let's just use the example, like Joe McGee is his name. Joe and I are talking to each other.
No, you just say, we're talking. Not to each other, we're just talking.
Well, who are you talking to?
You would say, like, me and insert name here are talking.
Wait, I know the next phase. I think I know the next phase. I have my hand raised.
Okay.
Is the next phase we're hanging out?
No. It would basically just go straight from that to, like, if you continue on the relationship and you talk about exclusivity, that's, like, dating.
Then you're dating. So you're not dating. Can I ask you a question? It's personal, though. But if somebody's talking, I'm using the air quotes there, to somebody else, are they romantically involved or is it just communication?
It's usually both.
See?
What?
You're breaking new ground for Judah here.
Judah's been talking to his fiance.
Judah's been playing by a different playbook.
Judah's fiance just turned the radio off. Dang it.
Looks like I need to start talking to my fiance.
They were only talking.
Well, I cry laughing. Oh my gosh. But then talking seems like so broad a term. It
that's
covers
why they do
so
it.
Much. But that's what I'm saying is like,
oh, I got another. Can I have a question? My hand's
yeah,
up.
Your hand is raised.
Alabama Adriana, are you allowed to talk to more than one person at a time?
Yeah. I mean, until you put the exclusive label on it, it's free reign.
Man.
It's a harsh world out here.
Born too early. You can. Do you think it's better now? Because you guys just get on an app, you swipe, and now you're talking.
Yeah, but you have to be aware that as many people as you're talking to, the other person can be talking to that many people as well. So you have to be able to kind of like
talk loudly.
You just have to be so aware of the circumstances.
Do you assume that when you're talking to somebody that they're talking to other people, or is that a conversation you have where you go, hey, are you talking to anyone else?
It can be a conversation, 100%. I think the communication between the two people needs to be as open and honest as possible.
Then it goes to dating. Can you, and now when you're exclusive when you're dating.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But you have to have that talk, because if you just say that you're dating, some people would call dating talking if you're actually going out on dates with somebody. But you have to have the exclusivity talk, and then like the dating is just kind of known.
Wow.
I'm so glad I don't have to navigate that world. That's tricky. I need more terms. I need more phases.
Between talking?
Yeah.
Alabama Adriana can go on that expert show and break it all down.
I know, right? Could we define a pre-talking phase? Could we whisper?
So if you're done talking to someone and... but they think they're still talking to you, is that potentially problematic?
Yeah, you got to let them know, or you just have to block them and ghost them. That's a whole other thing, ghosting. I think I am too mature for at this point in my life.
For a lot of our listeners are not going to know what ghosting is. So, Alabama Adriana, could you talk just a little bit about ghosting?
Could you speak about ghosting, please?
So I'd be happy to. You go on a couple of dates or one date, or you're just literally just texting with someone else, and you decide that that person is not for you. And instead of voicing your concerns or your thoughts like a normal, mature human being, you just decide to block them or never return any of their messages.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
Is there any such thing as doing the friendly ghost, what I call the Casper?
Friendly ghost.
Which would be what?
That's what I've done, which is being really, really nice, but then you forget to text them back. You forget.
No, it's still ghosting.
Okay.
Or you just, they write you a long message and you just put K.
Oh,
that's brutal. Is like even worse.
That's even worse.
But isn't that the friendly ghost? At least I answered. No.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or a thumbs up. You give them a thumbs up.
No, because a brush off like that makes you feel even smaller than just a block.
But that's part of it. Like, you know, you're both in this. You're both showing up. You know, you got your entourages. You're getting into the boxing ring. There's just the two of you in the ring. But, you know, you're both mature people in the ring boxing. Somebody, like, there's a chance that somebody's going to get knocked out. Why do we have to be, like,
it's a weird analogy.
So kind about it?
Because how hard is it to just say, hey, I'm not really feeling this. I hope that you have a good life. And then that's it. How hard is that to say? It's really a communication thing.
One could argue that the whole ghosting thing lends to more stalking, because like if you get ghosted, you're like, haven't you had somebody, you know, that you've decided to block, and then they might like create a fake account and still try to be like peering in on your life?
Or they put a tightrope up outside your window.
Or that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you for that education. I appreciate
I've learned
that.
So much.
All right. Leave it here. We got the Culligan Water Cooler Report coming up. This radio show will be the equivalent of vitamin D. Sun, sunshine, a diversion, evidence, case in point, exhibit A, that last segment of radio. Grab a podcast of this show by subscribing to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you get a podcast, you can subscribe to the show. More than 1 million people this year will listen to a podcast episode of this program. It blows my mind. I can remember back in the days when that number was like 100,000 in a year. Then it was 300,000 in a year. Then it was 800,000 in a year. Now over 1 million listens a year of this radio show. So I appreciate everybody who makes this show part of their day. The Culligan Water Cooler Report. We do it every day. Meet me at the water cooler.
Welcome to the Culligan Water Cooler Report. If we're talking about it, they'll be talking about it. Brought to you by Culligan Water Company.
Well, we've been all over the place on today's show, justifiably so. 24-Hour Fitness has declared bankruptcy. They're going to close more than 100 locations. They'll keep some locations open as they seek financial solvency. Anna, you and I, we're 24-Hour Fitness members. I feel a little misled by this.
Because of the email we got a month ago?
Yes.
Yeah. The email that was like, hey, don't worry, we got you. We're just going to tag on some extra time at the end of your membership. You don't need to ask for a refund.
I feel like I worked a shift and then I showed up to pick up my check and the doors were locked. Mm. But bottom line is, I think we're finding out in this pandemic in the last 3 months how thin the margins were for some.
Yeah.
College athletic programs are acting like if they don't have the football season, they're going to collapse. Like 80% of the revenue comes out of college football, but they were spending like drunken sailors. I mean, they were literally spending like, and 24-Hour Fitness, I had no idea that their margins were that thin that, hey man, we can't withstand two or three months off. Mm-hmm. We don't get that revenue, we are going to collapse. Especially with some of the government programs that are out there.
I guess that is kind of a warning sign for businesses. Like, you got to have a rainy day fund, right?
Or just be smart. Like, I talked to a lot of small business owners who benefited from the payment protection program that the government offered and other things. And the reports I got back were, hey, this is going to be a lot better than in 2008, where we weren't able to access the funds. And they were, after an initial period of maybe about 3 weeks, there was a lot of help that came in. You know, some of the businesses will get relief from their payroll protection of up to 75% of the payroll will be paid in forgiveness for these loans. I just, like, 24-Hour Fitness, which seemingly was sailing along, now in bankruptcy, and maybe they're just throwing it into bankruptcy so they could bring it back out in a better way, but I feel like they took a few months of dues that they probably shouldn't have taken from people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm thinking long term, you know, for like the fitness instructors and you know, like the people who were working there.
Did they pay them? Because we paid.
Yeah, I hope they got paid. But the fact that so many of those people now have to go find new jobs somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. And a lot of those people, that was a terrific, I think, part-time job for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of young people working at those clubs, fitness instructors and the trainers and the front desk people. And so those part-time employees should have been eligible for payment, payroll protection.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like, sometimes I look around and I think, like, okay, this is a time, whenever there's trouble.
Yeah.
You see good companies that sort of thrive and gobble up market share and figure out a way, have a plan. And I've talked to a lot of small business owners on this show. We've talked about a number of those business owners. And you see others and some corporations that just go, all right, it was made of sticks and it's falling now.
Yeah, I will be curious to see, like, 10 years from now when the economists look back, you know, what they learn about businesses that not only survived this, but then thrived. And it will have to be, the common denominators will be that they were nimble, that they were able to pivot, that they were able to innovate and take advantage of technology to continue to access their customers and maybe even serve them in newer and better ways. It's a real test.
I think the same will be said at sports, because you're going to have leagues that figure out how to continue. Horse racing right now, the amount wagered, I looked at the handle in horse racing, because they kept racing in Florida, they kept racing in Arkansas, they're going to have the Belmont Stakes coming up this weekend. Horse racing moved on. Mm-hmm. It just said, all right, we can protect our jockeys. We can continue to have no fans inside the tracks, but we can have horse racing. The betting handle on horse racing is up 100% because there's less competition from other sports. They will come out of this maybe with a larger market share.
Interesting.
So will somebody. Like the NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL, college football. Somebody's coming out of this with a larger market share, depending on how they handle it and whether they can have a league.
Well, it makes sense that horse racing would go up, too, because, like, when you look, all the vices essentially are going up. Gambling, I'm sure, is up. Drinking is up. Like, you know, those kind of behaviors that can be fun until you do too much of it.
A number of counties in Oregon have mandated masks.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
This is taking effect in a week.
Yep.
But Multnomah County, Clackamas County, among those counties that are saying you have to wear a mask if you go into a store. Las Vegas has now come out today and said if you're in a casino, you got to wear a mask.
Yeah. California is saying you got to wear a mask if you are even outdoors and you aren't able to maintain 6 feet of distance from people who aren't in your immediate family. Outdoors.
It's a good idea. Who's going to follow this? And how are they going to enforce this?
The outcry against it is pretty loud right now. But I know I went into a pharmacy to pick something up today, and I wore a mask in, and I know the lady in the pharmacy was like, hey, thanks for wearing a mask. Like, she's like, I can't believe how many people aren't. But I don't know. It's one of those things again. I can't tell other people what to do. I just know for us.
Man, you can say what annoys you. I mean, it bothers me when I put a mask on because I'm not necessarily putting it on for me. I'm putting it on because, okay, what if I'm asymptomatic?
Yeah.
There's an older person in the store, and last thing I want to do is like have them trace it back and be like, hey, man, you killed this 85-year-old guy because you didn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
So I'm doing everything I can do to try to be like, all right, I'll put this on. It's an inconvenience. I don't like it. But I do kind of like the idea of wearing a mask into a casino and then taking their money.
Oh, golly.
You know what I mean? Ocean's One. I'm going in. Here's the plan. I'm going in. I'm gonna split aces, and I'm gonna double down every opportunity I get, and I'm walking out with their money. That's my plan. Ocean's One. That's like a 4-minute movie.
Yeah.
Did it work, or did he end up back at the ATM?
I haven't seen any of the video out of Vegas yet, but that's just gotta. I mean, it's gotta look so weird with the plexiglass up at the poker tables and blackjack tables and all that.
Well, we were there with when this whole thing started.
Yeah,
that's where we were.
I know.
We were in Vegas for the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah,
and the casino was empty.
Yeah.
And they had hand sanitizer at the tables, and the dealers were just standing there.
No one was taking it seriously, really, yet. I mean, yeah, the numbers had, you know, evaporated from the crowds because I think at that point, like particularly the place where we were staying is heavily, frequented by mainland Chinese people. And obviously China being the state that it was with the coronavirus, they had stopped coming to America and to places like Vegas.
China's ahead. So, China knows what to do.
So
Taiwan knows what to do.
We saw kind of the first, signs of all of the shutdown. And I remember we had conversations about it. We're like, oh, my gosh, like that server at that restaurant has no idea what's about to happen. That taxi driver doesn't know that, what's going to hit the fan.
Yeah, we kind of saw that. You got out of Dodge quick, and I got out of Dodge like 2 days later because they told me to stay there until they canceled things. But I think ultimately now I'm looking at some of the same markers. I see in Beijing, they have gone back to lockdowns.
Yeah.
And I think that's not a good marker. But Taiwan knew what to do. Your dad lives in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
They knew what to do.
Yeah.
They went to masks and distancing. Nobody had to tell them.
Yeah.
I think we will be there one day. If this ever happens again after we get through this, I think people will be like, we know what to do. We'll go right to masks because we know how to. Like Taiwan, they knew what to do.
Yeah, I mean, they had so many masks, they were like shipping them to the U.S.
Yeah, one of your cousins tried to like get in business and be like, hey, I can ship you some masks. And I was like, I don't want to be in that business. All right, leave it here. This has been the Culligan Water Cooler Report. Thank you to Culligan of Oregon for keeping our drinking water tasting delicious. And they can help you as well. Culligan of Oregon. Father's Day is ahead. Coming up this weekend. I spent a lot of time thinking about trying to be a good dad. It's little things, guys. It's little things. That's what I've determined. I try to look back at my own childhood and I go, okay, I had a great dad. I have a great dad. But growing up, he was there. He was engaged. He gave me time even when he was tired. And he showed me in so many ways that he had confidence in me. And some of that was he allowed me to fail. He didn't try to fix everything for me. I know it's a hard thing. It's a tough concept, especially with dads and daughters. I got three daughters. I want to fix everything for them. And I just keep remembering that part of being a good parent is to give kids a safe place to fail. In sports, there's a safe place to fail, youth sports. But you have that opportunity all over your household. I'm not saying that you should want your kid to fail. Crush them. Crush their soul when you play a game against them. But I'm just saying, I think sometimes it's okay to let your kids fail. Let's talk about dads real quick. Anna, your dad's in Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. Like, so far away. Other side of the globe.
What are your memories from dad, like, real early memories about things you did with him? Were they big things or little things?
No, they were little things. Like, you know, like playing Chinese chess, actually, with him and him not letting me win. So there were tears on my end. But like you're saying, he let me fail. He didn't let me win the game.
Did he play for money?
We didn't play for money.
No.
We would play blackjack, and he would let me lose at that, too. Like, I'd lose to the house.
We played cards with him when we were visiting him one time. We played Uno.
Uh-huh.
And your dad was playing by a whole set of rules that we were not playing by, but I was too polite to call him on it.
He was cheating?
Yeah.
He pulls some, like, card out of nowhere. Where were you hiding that card? What?
The first time he did it, I thought, well, maybe he made a mistake. And then he did the same damn thing again. I thought, oh, this guy. And I didn't say anything. And he won a couple games, and then I turned to you and I said, you know, your dad's playing by different rules than we're playing by.
You know, I remember he used to love to golf. Like, when we lived in Taiwan and he had the luxury of having the time and the resources to golf, he loved the game. And then when we came to the States and, you know, we were essentially stuck at the motel on Sandy Boulevard and Park Rose, he still had that desire to golf, but he had to satiate it with creating, this is crazy. So he would make little like rubber balls out of, you know, rubber bands.
Okay.
And he had a putter and a cardboard box. Like, we would get those giant cardboard boxes full of toilet paper from United Grocers, because when you own a motel, you go through a lot of toilet paper. And so I remembered, like, you know, golfing with him, putting with him in the manager's unit at the motel. That's just the funniest thing.
He was paying attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you remember.
We spent a lot of time just kind of sitting on the stoop of the manager's unit talking and, you know, man, you're going to make me cry. I just felt good when I was around him. Like, I felt beautiful and smart and confident.
He just filled up your bucket.
He did.
And he still does.
And he still does.
And he's alive, which is amazing. For people who don't know, he had stage 4 colon cancer, and he went back to Taiwan several years ago. And there was, I remember being at the airport, you went back with him. And I thought when he left, I said, I wonder if we'll see him again. Like, you know, you always wonder that when somebody has cancer. And your dad has thrived. And he is kicking butt.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was able to do some therapies that weren't available here in America, actually. And they treated the cancer pretty aggressively in Taiwan. And, you know, knock on wood, he's been in remission for almost, I think, eight to nine years now.
He's doing well. And I hope we get to see him again. And this whole pandemic has been tough, because that's a long trip from Taiwan to here.
Yeah.
On a plane, if there's coronavirus going on and you are older and you have a pre-existing health condition, you know, he's, you know, sort of like has to always be careful, too, that, you know, I kind of think we're going to have to play a road game at some point and go to Taiwan.
Well, we'd been talking about that, remember? Like, we've kind of thrown the idea around more recently since the little ones are older now and could potentially withstand the grueling, you know, 19-hour journey it would take to get there.
Oh, that would be cake for them. It would be hell for us. It would be like, they'd be like, this is the greatest 19 hours of YouTube I ever spent. Like, for us, it would just be like, can we get off the plane? I kind of want to go to Taiwan. I want to see this place. You were born there. I want to see mm-hmm. the island. I know the air there supposedly isn't great, but like
only in certain cities. In other parts, it's really nice. Like the industrial cities, the air is pretty gnarly, but other parts of it are quite nice.
Well, we'll have to do that.
Yeah,
Judah Newby, where do you want to go? Where's that place?
We have my fiance and I have been talking a lot about a Caribbean honeymoon, and it's hard to pull the trigger on it right now because of everything.
Get a deal right now, though, huh?
So the rates are nice. So.
Are they paying you to go yet? Because they're going to get there at some point. They're going to be like, "Come on over, we'll pay the airfare. You buy the hotel."
Tell you what, that's the goal. I'm trying to steer it in that direction. But regardless, just that seed being put in my mind now. Every time I get a chance, I'm thinking about a Caribbean honeymoon. We'll see if that actually happens. It won't happen anytime soon. We were aiming for October, but some things got to break right for sure.
I saw the trips to Italy. They had some packages to Italy where they were like, if you stay three nights, the fourth night is free. Every three night stay plus. Airfare was like half of what it should be. Alabama Adriana, where's that trip? Where's that place you want to go?
I really want to go to India and Georgia, the country. And then obviously like Greece, Santorini, stuff like that.
Love that. A lot of people talking to people over in Santorini.
I didn't even catch meant by that initially.
I'm still on that old conversation.
Slow on the uptake.
People talking to people. A lot of people talking to people in Georgia, too. The country.
Whole new meaning of the talk show now. Your sports talk show is much different.
Oh, we've been talking all for 3 hours on this show. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Tomorrow's radio show is going to be, it's going to be kind of a celebration. You know, I encourage you to tune in right at noon tomorrow as I'm going to highlight and go back through some of the best interviews that we've had in the last 3 months. It's kind of a, here's the silver lining of a coronavirus pandemic show, but Mario Cristobal, Jonathan Smith, essentially the two offensive and defensive coordinators at Oregon and Oregon State, plus a lot of the banter that we normally have on the show on tomorrow's program. Be here noon to 3 p.m. right here on the BFT Radio Network. I haven't given a shout out to the Fox Sports Eugene crowd lately. For those of you who listen on KORE, 1050 a.m., I appreciate those of you in Eugene who've made this radio show part of your day on a regular basis. And I'm humbled when I see the phone lines light up and I see all the Eugene, Springfield, even some of the Corvallis callers who call in who are listening on Fox Sports Eugene. That station and Steve and the team down there, they do an absolute terrific job with the show and promoting the show. And so thank you, all of you in Eugene who listen to the show and make this show part of your day. It's been really cool for me to get to know a lot of you and be able to have a daily conversation with you. So thank you to Steve and Core. That's K-O-R-E, Core, Fox Sports Eugene. Love that station. And you guys are an absolute army there. I can't believe the number of listeners we have in Eugene. And so for the advertisers in Eugene, yes, you should be on Core if you've got a small business and you're in Eugene. So thank you to those of you out there. On that note, I want to give Golden Oak Lending a shout out. If you need that free mortgage checkup, get it today. Go to goldenoaklending.com. They've got the secure portal. Interest rates are low. This is all lined up for you. Take their no-risk free mortgage checkup. Check your existing home loan. See if they can do better for you. There's no risk to that. There's no cost to that. They don't run a credit report. They don't do anything that would cause you any grief. They just take a look at what you're doing on your loan, and they'll tell you if they can do better. And if they can do better, then you owe that to your family and to yourself to explore that. So go to goldenoaklending.com right now and take that free mortgage checkup. They're there. They're ready for you. The office, the Portland office, is standing by and ready to help you with your loan. goldenoaklending.com. Great team there as part of Golden Oak Lending. I love this 2 o'clock hour. It moves fast too.
Good.
Anna, you've been a nice addition.
The alternative would be, man, it's really dragging along when you show up.
Yeah, like if you walk in the room and everybody goes, ooh, that means you probably, you know?
Glad I could bring some.
Yeah, you're bringing some heat. Alabama Adriana, what'd you have for lunch? I noticed you went to get lunch. What are you doing now? How do you get lunch during a pandemic?
No, I just grabbed something from the kitchen here.
You ate out of the vending machine?
I just ate like a granola bar, like a protein bar, and some dried apple slices and some yogurt.
I need to get you something healthier.
That's healthy.
I don't know if that's really a meal. That granola bar is probably high in sugar.
It actually wasn't. It's high in protein and in fat.
Okay. There you go. That's better. All right, we're back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the day. It's sunny outside. Adriana, what do you see when you look out your window?
Blue skies. Beautiful.
Go enjoy those blue skies, everybody. And I appreciate that you make this show part of your day. And grab the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Go to the Facebook page. Give us a review in the Facebook.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.